I would encourage you to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, please. Most of my preaching and teaching lately has been focused on Romans chapter 8. And two messages ago, we looked at what the good is in Romans 8:28. Then last time we were together, we looked at what the good work is that God has purposed for us. And there we saw that God clearly tells us we are his ambassadors of reconciliation. And what I want to do today is go back two messages ago and look at something that relates to it, relates to what the good is that God is doing in us from Romans 8:28. And I want to look at this because I firmly believe if we get this, that not only will it help us in our walks with Christ, but this truth will draw us closer to each other. So look at Romans 8, starting in verse 26. And I sure hope that this is not only sounding familiar to you all, but that you have been meditating and praying over this passage. Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for saints according to the will of God. Verse 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. And back in March, we focused on what is good. What is the good God works together for us? And we see that in verse 29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. To be conformed to the image of his Son. The good he is working together is making us more like Jesus. It is that simple. And there was more good in verse 30. Look at it. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also glorified, justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Brothers and sisters, if you have the Holy Spirit of God in you, then you are on a pathway to glorification. You will be like Christ, and you will be with him forever. And we looked at the process, and we saw that God purifies us through suffering, through trials of various kinds, suffering, persecution, and temptation. And these are all good, because when we are mindful of God and entrusting ourselves to him, then we are being sanctified and we are being conformed more to the image of Christ. Today I want to look at the reality of being comforted by God during these times. And the title is Comforted to Comfort. Let's pray together. Father, you have brought us here together today for a purpose, for a reason. And I pray now, Father, that your reason for having us here to learn more about you, to increase our faith, to transform our minds, to conform us more to the image of your Son, I pray that that is accomplished today by the power of your word and the power of your Holy Spirit. May this be so. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we look at our passage and begin, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 2. I want to read this passage because this is my approach to preaching. And today in particular, I want you to see it and be aware of it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 5, this is Paul writing to the people in Thessalonica. Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 5. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed, God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like nursing mother taking care of her children. And here it is. Here's what God has me to do each time I bring a message to you. Verse 8. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we are ready to share not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you have become very dear to us. It is my intention not to only share the gospel with you today, but to share my own self, because you have become very dear to me. The gospel is simple. Having a relationship with God is not complicated. Do not let people complicate it for you. Do not let people complicate it for you. The gospel is simple. Living the gospel is hard because the gospel involves suffering. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 1. Today I want to look at the simple parts of the reality of suffering. Suffering is hard. Enduring is hard. But how and why we do it is simple. Let's read this together and then we'll tear it down to simplicity. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is in Corinth, with all the saints who are in the whole of Achaia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken. For we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. For what do we want? For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For when we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. Four simple realities of suffering and the comfort of God. These are realities we need to know, understand, and believe. Truth number one, reality number one, simple reality number one is God is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Look at this with me, starting in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Don't say that too fast either. And Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is in Corinth, with all the saints who are in the whole of Achaia. This letter was written about 2,000 years ago to saints. And God's word transcends time and culture. This passage, these truths are for us, saints of God, through faith in Christ. Verse 2, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Okay, let's hold up here. The Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. I did a search on Father of mercies, and this is the only place that I could find it was written. And isn't it interesting that Paul puts these two together? The Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Our God is our Father, and he is merciful, and our God is a God of all comfort. can't even begin to explain, but I'm going to do my best to show you how important this simple reality is. Keep your finger right where we are and turn to Hebrews 11:6. When I teach or preach a point, I usually, almost always, say you need to know, understand, and believe this. I want to explain to you why that is important to know, understand, and believe God is a God of all comfort. This is simple, and this is as simple as it gets, and this is real. And if you want to experience the comfort of God, if you personally want to experience the comfort of God, then it must start here. Look at Hebrews 11:6 with me. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. We must believe that he exists, and we must believe that he rewards those that seek him. Brothers and sisters, when you are suffering, look for the reason. Look for the lesson. Look for the resolution. Follow the care plan. Take the medication. Go to your counseling sessions. Enlist your brothers and sisters to pray for you. Do all those things, but you must look for God. He is the lesson. He is the reason. He is the resolution. Brothers and sisters, God is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. If we believe that God exists, if we believe that God is the Father of mercies, if we believe that God is the God of all comfort, if you truly seek God by faith when you are suffering, and we believe he will reward us for seeking him, then on the authority of the Word of God, I tell you, you will experience the comfort of God. Not only is this key, this is as simple as it gets. Seek God. Seek the God of all comfort. God is our comfort. Flip back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. When I say seek him and I'm pointing up there, that is so wrong. Seek him, he's right here. You don't have to go through some mystical fog to find God. He's right here if you are a believer in Christ. Simple truth and reality. Number one, God is the Father of mercies and God is the God of all comfort. Simple truth and reality. Number two is God comforts us in all and any affliction. Let's look back at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Father of all mercies and God of all comfort. Verse 4, who comforts us in, what's the next word? All our affliction. So that we may be able to comfort those who are in, what's the next word? Any affliction. With the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. I love those 100% words. Our God is a 100% God. There is nothing outside of his love and control. Nothing. What is it you are going through? No affliction is beyond our Father of mercies. No affliction is beyond our God of comfort. God comforts us in all and any affliction. So, simple truth, reality number one is God is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Reality number two is God comforts us in all and any affliction. Number three, we are comforted to comfort. And that is the title of the message. God comforts us to comfort others. Let's look at that. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions. And hold up here, brothers and sisters, this should be eye-opening to all of us. Why does God comfort us in all of our afflictions? Look at it. Verse 4, the second part. so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we received ourselves from God. Why does God comfort us? He absolutely comforts us so that we may have His peace during trial. He absolutely comforts us so we may have a deep-seated joy during persecution and trials. He absolutely comforts us so we can experience His love. But get this and get this good. God comforts us so He can comfort others through us. When we are comforted by God, when we experience God in our sufferings and we share our experience with others, then we are following the will of God. When we share our experiences with others, they will be comforted. When we are sharing our experiences with each other, our Father of mercies, our God of comfort, is being glorified. Simple truth. Reality number one, God is the Father of mercies, God of all comfort. This is easy. This is simple. Reality number two is that He comforts us in all and any of our afflictions. Reason number three is He comforts us so we can comfort others. And the fourth and final simple truth, don't get too excited because I'm going to circle back to number three. Number four is we experience comfort when we patiently endure. It's right here in our text, verse 6. If you are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort. Do you want to know how to experience the comfort of God? Then take the next few words from God to heart, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. We need to patiently endure. This is the key. Do not try to rush God. Do not try to rush God, patiently endure. Keep your finger here again and turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. We need to patiently endure. And here we are going to see the two keys to patiently enduring suffering and to experience the comfort. This is not a magic potion or a pill you take. But if you remember these two simple truths and write them down on your hearts and apply them, then you will grow in Christ. We'll read through this and I'll point them out as we go. There's two of them. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 through 23. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing when, and here's number one, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in His steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in His mouth. When He was reviled, He did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten. And here's number two. But continued entrusting Himself to the one who judges rightly. We need to be mindful of God, and we need to entrust ourselves to Him while we patiently endure. This is simple, right? This is simple. We are to be mindful of our Father of mercies. We are to be mindful of our God of all comfort. Think about God. Be mindful of God. Seek God and entrust yourselves to Him. Have faith in God. Believe that He exists and believe He will reward you for seeking Him. It is not complicated, brothers and sisters. It is not complicated. What is your mind set on? What is your mind full of? Is it on God and his kingdom or on the kingdom of this world? Where is your trust? What are we trusting in, trusting ourselves to? Is our trust and faith in the God of comfort or of things in this world? In order for us to experience our God of comfort, we need to have our mind set on Christ. And we need to be entrusting ourselves to him, and we need to be patiently enduring. Flip back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to continue in verse 8. Verse 8. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death, but that was to not make us rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. I love Paul. You can just tell Paul's a thinking man. A thinking man with his mind set on God. A thinking man with his mind full of God. A thinking man conscious always of God. Look back at the second half of verse 8. And see what a man abiding in the word of Christ with his mind set on God looks like. Second half of verse 8. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. Let's pause here. They were utterly burdened beyond their strength. He felt like he had received the death sentence. Paul says we felt like we were going to die. We felt like we were going to die. Watch now as Paul turns feelings into a godly mindset. Second part of verse 9. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises from the dead. Suffering makes us rely on God. Verse 10. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope, and he will deliver us again. This is how our experience develops and produces a deeper faith and hope. We felt like we were going to die. We felt like we were burdened beyond our strength, so we had to rely on God. And he delivered us from this deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. Our hope is set on him. He has faithfully delivered us in the past, and he will faithfully deliver us again. We need to have our minds set on him. We need to entrust ourselves to him, and we need to patiently endure. He has delivered us before, and he has comforted us before, and he will do it again. Simple truth and reality. Number one is God is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Number two is God comforts us in all and any of our afflictions. Number three is we are comforted to comfort. And number four is we must patiently endure. So those are the four. I said I was going to circle back around to the simple reality, number three, that we are comforted to comfort. This is all relational. That is, we share these things. We share them with God, and we share them with each other. Look back at verse 5. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, For we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. Paul is saying to believers, when I am afflicted, it is for you. When I am comforted, it is for you. And he shares his affliction and comfort because it is for us. See it in verse 8. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experience in Asia. Why don't I want you to be unaware? Because this is for you. Because this affliction is for you. This comfort is for you. Paul says, I don't want you to be unaware. Here's some affliction for you. Don't be unaware. Here's some comfort for you. Paul says, here's what happened. This is for you. Our faith was built up to build up your faith. Our hope was affirmed to affirm your hope. We were comforted to comfort you. This is what it means to build up the body of Christ. Brothers and sisters, this is what it means to build up the body of Christ. The opposite is selfishness, which is a cancer to the body and tears it apart. If you've heard me teach and preach, then you know I hit hard on the reality of being in Christ. If you have faith in Christ and Christ alone, then you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God indwells you, and you are children of the living God, and we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And we need one another. We need one another. God's plan is relational. We are to love him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength, and our neighbors as ourselves. And then there is the new commandment that Jesus gave us for believers. We are to love each other just as Christ loved us. We are to love sacrificially just as Christ loved us. This is how we are to love one another. God did not call us into his family to be loners. God did not call us into his family to be selfish. If you are battling an affliction on your own, you are being selfish. If you are not sharing your affliction with the body of Christ, you are being selfish. These things do not belong to you, they belong to the body. If you have patiently endured an affliction and you have not shared it with the body, you are being selfish. If you have experienced the comfort of our God and not shared it with the body, you are being selfish. These do not belong to you, they belong to the body. How much do you love your brothers and sisters in Christ? We have to stop thinking about these things that they are about us. They are not. They are about Christ and his church and his glory. They are not about me. Here's what it is. Here's Paul's mindset and should be ours. God has me going through this trial not for myself, but that I may serve my brothers and sisters that are in pain by comforting them as God has comforted me. Turn to our last passage, Matthew chapter 26. We are to deny ourselves, take up our crosses, and follow Jesus. We are to share our burdens and our comfort with each other. Why would you ever want to hurt alone? Did Jesus share his burdens? Let's consider him during his greatest struggle. This is the Garden of Gethsemane. Matthew 26, 36 through 46. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. Hold up here. Do you ever wonder why Jesus left the big group behind and took Peter, James, and John with him? Do you ever consider it was because these are the ones he wanted to share his burden with? Verse 37. And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." Oh, brothers and sisters in Christ, this is more than a teaching moment for Peter, James, and John. This is God in the flesh sharing his heart with them. This is God in the flesh sharing that he was troubled. This is God in the flesh sharing that he was hurting. This is God sharing his burden of pain with human beings. He brought these three with him because his soul was sorrowful. Verse 39. And going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So why could you not watch with me an hour?" The Lord of creation had shared a burden and asked them to watch with them, and they fell asleep. Now, I don't know why he picked Peter to ask the question to. I guess it's just because Peter is always the one. Watch in verse 41 now. "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for a third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of the sinners. Rise, let us go. Be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." It is clear in this passage that Jesus shared his burden with the men he loved. Why they fell asleep, and he came back to them two times, and they were sleeping, and he went back to pray. Why that happened, I don't know. It would be just speculation. So let me speculate. And this is speculation. Sharing our burdens as Jesus did with our brothers and sisters in Christ is important. Sharing our burdens is important. And I think the reality that Jesus found his comfort in God and not the two he brought with him speaks volumes. God absolutely uses brothers and sisters to bring us comfort. But always remember, our comfort comes from the Father of mercies. Always remember, our comfort comes from the God of comforts. This is who Jesus experienced it from in the garden. I was scrolling through Facebook the other day, and I was thinking about how superficial our world has become. Now, I'm not saying anything against Facebook. I use Facebook. But you go there and everyone and everything is screaming out, "Look at this. Pay attention to this. You need to see this. You need to read this." And it just seems to me like words don't have any meaning anymore. They just said, "Hi, how are you doing today?" "I'm good." Would we ask that question if we really wanted to know? Would we answer that question as if the person asking really wanted to know? Does anybody here really want to know how I am? No, I'm asking you, does anybody really want to know how I am? I never thought life could revolve around a finger for a month, since you asked. I nailed this finger on March 15th, and my life has been about a finger ever since. This is crazy because I asked myself, why didn't I go to the ER the day it happened? And I ask myself, why did I not insist on an x-ray the first two times I saw a doctor? This has been hard. This made me sick with infection. It's made me have extreme pain. It made me miss enjoying the 10 Northland students that we hosted a couple weeks ago. This made me miss preaching on Easter. It's making our bank account shrink. Money I thought we would be using to send to Renee to Africa is disappearing. So I come to why. Why did this happen? And I'm teaching and I'm preaching in Romans 8, 28 through 30. And if I believe what I'm teaching in Sunday school and I believe what I'm preaching from the pulpit, then the answer is easy. Why it happened is because God is doing something in me. God is working all things together for good. Because I love God and I am called according to His purpose, I am being conformed more to the image of Christ, and He is using this. The challenge became, am I going to be mindful of God and entrusting myself to Him as I patiently endure this? And I got to tell you, first I lost that challenge. Then there was a string of three nights I could not sleep. And the third night I knew God wanted me to come to Him, and I knew He wanted me to pray, and I did. And I confessed to Him, Lord, this did not have to happen. It happened because I got mad that the nailer wasn't working. I lost my temper, I got impatient, and I nailed my finger, and I am sorry, Lord. Please don't take my finger. I just want to do what I started doing with this project. I want to enjoy my time with you, God. I want to enjoy my time with my mom helping me. Lord, forgive me. And I realized how stupid it was to be angry and patient with a nail gun. And a peace came over me. That confession to God gave me peace. The anger and impatience not only drove a nail in my finger, it had robbed me of my joy that God had intended me for me in that project. God had met me there, and it was an amazing lesson to learn. So I said, okay, Lord, now I need to get some sleep. He said, no, not yet. There's still the reality of my finger. My finger hurt bad. Yes, it's just a finger, but it's my finger, and I don't want to lose it. And I have been teaching and preaching that we have to come to a point in our lives when we are willing to submit to the will of God for everything. So I prayed and I shared my heart with God. And I said, Father, I do not want to lose my finger. Father, I don't want to be in this pain anymore. Father, I just learned my lesson. Can't it just be over now? And I thought of Jesus in the garden, and I thought, am I really comparing my finger to what Jesus was praying over in the garden? He was about to be tortured and killed and go to hell for me, and I'm worried about a finger. That realization brought me to a place in my prayer where I was honestly and humbly and faithfully saying, Father, I do want to keep my finger. I want to have the pain go away. Nevertheless, your will be done. And God met me there again. And I experienced His comfort and peace in a way I never have before in my life. And I said, Lord, now I'd like to get some sleep. And He said, not yet. The reality of the passage that we just went through today had been in my heart since the last time I preached a month ago on what the good is in Romans 8:28. And God reminded me through remembering this passage of the reality that He comforts others through us. And I had just experienced an amazing comfort but it was about 2 a.m., so I couldn't call anybody. So I started praying for everyone he brought to mind. And when I couldn't think of any more names, I said, okay, Lord, now I want to go to sleep. He said, no. Not yet. You are still restless. And he just wanted me to spend time with him. He just wanted to love on me. Do you know that God wants to love on you? That he wants to love on you like a father and a mother love on their child? That's how he wants to love on you. And I rested in him. I rested in his mercy. I rested in his grace. And I rested in his love. And I rested in his comfort. And I went to sleep. Brothers and sisters, suffering is a gift from God to the body of Christ in order to experience God's comfort together. We are comforted to comfort. Let's pray together. Father, help us. Help us to have the strength and the courage and the humility to share with each other. I'm not saying to get up and stand in front of everybody and share burdens and secrets of our hearts. I'm saying find a brother and sister that you love and can trust and share your burden and share your comforts. Father, help us to do that. Father, I know your word says we are to love you with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and each other as Christ loved us. Help us to do that, Father, I pray. May we be a body of believers that love you so much and love each other so much that the world can see Christ in us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.